Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
As I look around this room and as I survey our church, all of us in this room are in different stages of our journey. Some of us have been following the Lord more than a lot of us have been alive. We do have older people in the congregation. Anybody grateful for that? Thank you, Lord. We have people that have been following the Lord upwards of 20, 30 years. And then we also want to celebrate that we've baptized over 50 plus people in the last year. But let me tell you what that means, though. That means that we have a lot of people who are new to this. And I'm so grateful that we are going through Matthew, because the thing that we don't want you to miss out of this series, me and Pastor Ike was just talking about this. If you miss what Matthew is getting at, if you miss that Matthew is painting a picture that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, that he is the king, born king. Like we learn in Matthew 1, literally, his name means I am salvation. If we miss that, then we've missed the entire point of the book. And Matthew is going to emphatically make sure that we understand that Jesus is king. That's why we named it All Rise. I am the king, says Jesus. I look around this room, and depending on where we grew up, what kind of church we grew up in, you may be like me. It took me a long time to kind of unmuddy the waters of what it actually meant to follow Jesus. Because a lot of the stuff I was taught was more of the things to avoid and not to do, and not the one to actually follow, which will cause you to not do the things they're telling you not to do. Yeah. Wow. Or you could have been in the persuasion where you were more worried about if you had the X on your chest and you was elected or not. And you missed the simplicity of what it actually means to follow Jesus. And maybe you're in this room and you do not follow him at all. And you're counting the cost. Welcome. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 There is no one in this room that has arrived to a degree of following Jesus in which we have to then stop following.
Come on today.
We have brilliant people in the room. But the scriptures, no one in this room is a sensei and master of the scriptures. God wired it that way so that we will always need him. We come upon a text where we're going to see Jesus calling people. We're going to see Jesus inviting people to follow him. But I want to show us something. So I have a couple of little things that the Lord showed me before we even get in the text. I want to give us like a run through of what we've seen in Matthew so far. So just bear with me. In Matthew 1, we see the genealogy. So we saw where Matthew was making the case that Jesus was the son of David. He was the son of Abraham, that he was the Messiah. We also saw how ratchet that lineage was to let us know that our Messiah was not tainted by our foolishness, but yet he remained pure in this genealogy. As a matter of fact, it booked in the genealogy calling him the Messiah. We see in the second sermon, Pastor Ike literally gave us a full dissertation on the name of Jesus, meaning I am salvation. We see in Matthew 2, I keep saying Genesis, we've been in Genesis for 2 years. We're in Matthew 2, where literally Pastor Recap laid out that Jesus was born king. How many folks born king? Nobody. We also saw in that text where he was the ruler and he was the shepherd. And Pastor Recap asked us the question, does he actually reign and does he lead? Mm-hmm. If you missed any of these sermons, definitely go check it out. We also see that at the announcement of King Jesus, that Herod got upset, got out of sorts, and our Messiah had to escape and had to flee. Do not miss that. His family had to uproot themselves to run from a crazy king. We also see in 3 that there was a guy named John the Baptist who came preaching a message in the wilderness saying, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. He was the voice crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, make his way straight. Jesus comes and he's like, whoa, I am not even worthy to baptize you. Let Jesus said, allow it for now. And what we see in all of these texts, so that it's fulfilled, so that it's fulfilled, so that it's fulfilled, so that it's fulfilled. Nothing in this is not intentional. We see in Matthew 4, this same Jesus who was born king, son of David, son of Abraham, the Messiah, salvation, was literally led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. My guy was hungry. And the evil one tried to capitalize on his physical hunger.
Wow.
But unlike us in Genesis 3, Jesus literally overcame the temptation of the evil one by what? The word of the Lord. For it is written. Angels came and ministered to him. Then Jesus get word that his cousin has been arrested. And just like a race, the baton was passed. And Jesus said, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, the difference in his message and John's message, John was talking about somebody, pointing to somebody. Jesus was talking about himself. He said, repent. That word in the Old and the New Testament literally means a change of mind and a change of direction. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It is here. When you look at that in the Greek, that is an intrusive statement, which means that the Lord is drawing a red line in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Saying my kingdom is here, and it elicits a response. Every week, Pastor Ike tells us, do not receive this sermon as a word from a man, but as the word of God. And you have one or two options. You either accept it or you deny it. And we do not hear that in the local church anymore, because we think that there is an option C. If we are not following after God, then we are not following after God. If we are not following him, we are following someone else or something else. And we got to hear that. I looked at this text, and this is Jesus beginning his ministry. And I just began to think about something that I thought was a word of encouragement for us, because for us in this generation, we are more concerned with platforms than sanctification. Name one person that ever lived that was more ready for ministry than Jesus. I'll wait. Name someone who was more pure than Jesus. I'll wait. Name someone who was more full of the word than Jesus. Name someone who cared more about people than Jesus. Name someone. I'll wait. And even the perfect Messiah, the one that was born king, he literally grew in stature and wisdom and favor with God and man. He had a 30-year process before he even began ministry. Yet many of us cannot wait a week. Think about it. And not only did he have a process, but he suffered. The cross was not the first place that he suffered. We heard the text. His family was fleeing. He was tempted by Satan. his cousin, John the Baptist, was arrested for preaching the very message that Jesus himself started preaching. How boss is that? Okay, that got him in jail. Oh, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is near. I look at Jesus' life and I'm enamored. I'm enamored by his humility. I'm enamored that the one that was born king, the Messiah, came as a baby. Do you like actually contemplate that? He submitted himself to the human limitations. The scripture said that he learned obedience by what he suffered. The fact that our Messiah learned and we can't sit and learn. Somebody say help. So we see our Messiah, who is the king, who is saying the kingdom of heaven has come near because the kingdom of heaven is him. And what we see in the first few words is as he was walking. Not as he was driving or being driven, but as he was walking. Can you just see the humility of our Messiah? As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee. First of all, Luke's account tells us that he was doing this after an all-night prayer session. So the Lord been praying all day and night, and now we see him walking along the Sea of Galilee. Let me give us a little context with the Sea of Galilee. This ain't like the best place for you to be walking. And our Lord walking. Everybody's screws ain't tight around that area. So let's just be real for a moment. If I'm beginning ministry and I'm the king and I'm now getting ready to pick disciples, why would I not go to like the courtyard and get the scribes and get the folks, the Pharisees, get the smart people, get the chosen one, get the noble one. But I'm going to walk on a sea toward fishermen. Do you see the humility of our Lord?
That's good.
He's always been coming to us. While we were yet sinners, Christ. He's always been pursuing us. We see our Savior walking in the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. John's account of the gospel lets us know that this may not have been the first meeting that Simon and his brother had with Jesus. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. In John 1, it shows us that. It shows us that Andrew was like, yo, I think we found the Messiah. A lot of times you can read this without the other context and think this was the first meeting. But what Matthew is showing here is not about the meeting, but it's about the command to follow. Jesus could have selected anybody, but he came for fishermen.
Wow.
Fishermen were rough around the edges. But they also were hard workers. When you see that term casting the net, let me explain what the net looked like. It's like this circle net that had weight on it. When we think fishing, we're thinking what we do, sitting in the boat, eating a sandwich, drinking a drink, chilling. They weren't chilling. And the nets for some of them was only big enough for one person to handle. Ooh, which made them grateful for the catch. We'll get that later.
Okay, come on.
Because of how much work it took. And then most times the work was to no avail.
Wow.
So could it be that the Lord saw all of that? To be a fisher of men, you need to have a work ethic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it.
You need to be okay that sometimes you're going to throw the net down, but nothing comes out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anybody is an evangelist in this room. Sometimes it feels like you're doing a lot of things, but with minimum results. Because
right. Wow.
The Lord had new sight. He didn't regard people like others regarded people.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Being a fisherman was not this claim to anything grand. As a matter of fact, in the context, most times when you were doing a trade, that's because you were not selected by a rabbi to do what they think is more honorable work. You didn't just sign up and say being a fisherman. All of that will matter. Our Messiah, walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Another thing that came in my head. What an honor for two brothers to be seen by the Lord. Do y'all know one of my greatest longings is for my brothers to know Jesus? This gave me a crazy sense of hope. What would it look like, man, for like the long-awaited Messiah to see me and my brother? Follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. We got to do some work right here, because when you think of follow me, most times we think of like walk behind me. But in the Greek, that word is an imperative word, which actually means, and this going to make us a little tense in America, come hither. Yep. Who in the room like to be summoned like that?
Help us, God. Help us today.
And that wasn't a come hither if you want to.
No, come here now, right?
It was come here. Come with me. When Pamela Anita Hicks Gray. Meet y'all. Come hither. And we need to hear that in this context. Because a lot of times we feel that there is a choice. Now, here's the uncomfortable part. There actually is a choice, but then there's no choice at the same time. He's actually saying, come here.
Yeah.
And here's something significant with this set of brothers. They would have probably heard his message. They were around. Mm. They were with John the Baptist. Mm. But there still comes a moment where even though you heard about Jesus, even though you know of him, there is still a moment where he will ask you to follow him, which is very, very different than hearing his messages.
Yeah.
There were many in the crowd, but very few followed. And for these guys, this is a different significant follow because they literally would be the ones that are the start and the apostle of the church. This is like, come with me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. I will make you fish for people. God will even use the things that he allows you to do. And would turn the master, and then you would begin to work for him in the same thing that you do, just in a different way. He took the same qualifications and the same work ethic of the disciples and literally was like, okay, let's turn that. And I'm going to give you new sight. I'm going to give you a new service, and you're going to do this same thing, but you're going to do it for people. I'm going to teach you as you follow me, as you come with me. The goal of a rabbi and a disciple was for you to become the person.
Wow. Wow.
This is a little different.
Wow.
Then I'm just sitting and hearing some things. Do y'all feel the tension in the room?
Yeah.
Because many of us do not understand the cost of discipleship. It costs everything. When you are connected to a rabbi, and for us, Jesus is our rabbi.
Yes.
This is an invitation for a reorientation,
wow.
Which means that the way that you think about life, it changes.
Yeah.
It literally flips upside down, inside out. It's not the same. He's talking about, I don't just want you to like Jesus's teaching for the social stuff. I want you to like the Lordship teaching, which means that you have to view your body, sex, sexuality, marriage, and everything differently.
Wow, wow.
See, this is discipleship. In the Near East culture, literally, you were a disciple with a rabbi and you took on their ideologies. You literally were a herald of their message. So for those of us in this room who are saying we're followers of Jesus, are we actually following him, number one? And are we heralding his message or our own? Which means we're not following.
Help us, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me.
This is so significant. What happened to these guys is so significant. As a matter of fact, in that culture, it would have been seen as dishonorable and shameful for a rabbi to go and pick their own disciples.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I love my Lord because he always does the foolish stuff to confound the wise.
Yes.
I love my Lord because he always comes after those of us who are not qualified and worthy, but he comes to us. I love my Lord because he does things and he don't care about what others think.
Yes.
I love our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because if it was based on somebody else's opinion of me, he wouldn't have chose me. Amen. But I'm grateful that he has new sight. He saw something in Demetrius Hicks. He saw something in Ike Todd. He saw something in Stacy Wilson. And he was like, I can use that for my purposes and my glory. I just need you to follow me.
Amen.
As I was reading up on rabbiness, I got to give us the imagery for us to see it. When he's saying, come with me, he is saying, be so close to me that the dust from my feet gets on your robe.
Wow, 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 wow.
What'd that sound like? John 15, abiding in the Lord Jesus. That's what that sounds like. Because apart from him, you can do what? Nothing. That is what it means to follow Jesus. It's to come after him. It's to deny yourself. It's to take up your cross and to walk with him. Tony Evans had a funny question as I looked at his commentary. He said, if you ain't fishing, you ain't being a Christian. I love older people. They're so beautiful. In other words, if you are literally not taking the call of evangelism seriously in your life in the way that God wires you to, then you're not fulfilling the duties of what a disciple does.
Wow. Wow, wow. Help, Lord.
That's conviction.
Help, Lord. Help.
Because y'all, I'm an introvert. Am I introverting? Be introverting. I'm the person that if I sit next to you on a plane, I pray you know him. Because if this thing go down, I'm going to let you mind your business, and then I'm going to mind my business.
Help us today, God. Help us.
I got to confess, when I go play tennis, I really don't want to know how your week was. I'm sorry. Y'all are holier than me. I know y'all always can't even go to the grocery store. You just... Literally, this week, this is the funniest thing. This is why you should not want to preach like that, because the word gonna get you first.
Yes, yes.
So I'm studying and I'm like, I had that day, Pastor Ike, you know, when it's like, oh, Lord, I see what you're saying. Oh, Lord, I see what you're saying to the church. And I had a tennis appointment. And I was like, yeah, I don't need to go to the tennis appointment because I see what you, I need to be focused to preach. The Lord was like, nah, go to the tennis appointment because you fool. And it's a discipleship message.
Uh-oh.
And so I couldn't even play tennis without thinking, did that man follow Jesus? I'm sitting up here like, huh, does he follow Jesus? Literally, the message is in my head so much so I got away. I went home, y'all. You get on the voice note right now. I sit there, man, a voice note. I'm like, I don't know what you think about Jesus, but let that be a lesson to us. We should be so full of the word that wherever we are, we want people to taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
He say, follow me.
Amen.
Disciples couldn't shut up about what the rabbi was teaching.
Yeah.
He said, follow me. Doesn't think about this, y'all. For those of us who grew up where you only were thinking about sin management. Do you see how lesser of a life you end up living when following Jesus is literally this adventure? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which leads you to a life of less sin.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to become like the one I'm following.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all, we just twisted it. I pray that legalism or whatever that is being free right now from this person, a person in this room. Where you're more concerned with sin management than following. Because if you are actually following the light that we learned about last week, the great light, which shines so bright in your life that it burns away the darkness of sin. If you're following after him. He said, follow me and I will make you fish for people. And here's the tension word. Immediately. They left their nets and followed him. That word immediately in the Greek is literally at once, which means there was no delay. They followed him. Notice it said they left their nets and followed him. It's already hard to be a fisherman, but these guys were businessmen fishermen, which meant that they were leaving a career. They were leaving everything they had known.
Oh boy.
That's the tension.
Yeah.
We don't know the cost.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know what God would ask us to do. And if I'm honest, that's why many don't follow. Because
yeah. Yep.
We're afraid.
Yep, yep, yep.
But can I give you the title of the message? He's worthy of it all.
Amen.
My sister asked a pointed question. I sent her this text and was like, read it and tell me your thoughts. Her number one question. So what made them drop everything and just follow him? Great question, sister.
Yes, 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 yes.
I have a challenge for us. Do we see Jesus as beautiful? Do we see Jesus as the altogether lovely one? Do we see his compassion and his mercy? Do we see that he is salvation? Do we believe that he's the promised one, that he's the son of David, the son of Abraham? Do we believe that? Because if we did, this is logical.
Yeah.
What does that sound like? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Viewing the mercies. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is my reasonable response. It's my logical response. I'm not conformed to the patterns of the world, but I'm transformed by the renewal of my mind so that I can discern the will of God. The only thing that will make you drop something is something better. Do we believe that Jesus is better? Do y'all know, like, that's the actual question? And that's not a one-time answer, Pastor.
Amen.
I got to wake up every single day and say, is he still worthy? Is he still worth it? I've counted the cost. And is he still altogether lovely? Because the moment I think he is not, I will not immediately do anything. That's the weight in this room. This is what kept me up at night while I was reading this text. Lord, am I following you like you want me to? Have I surrendered everything? Have I reoriented my life? Like, that's the actual question. Have I reoriented the way I think about things? Have I reoriented the view? Here's the taboo stuff in America. Have I submitted to his view of sex and sexuality? Do I believe that my body belongs to the Lord? My money. Can he tell me to do what he wants me to do with my money? Give me my money. Can he get it? Can he get it? When he asks you to give to that person, do you be like, ooh, get behind me, devil? What? Name a time the devil gonna ask you to give to somebody in generosity. Get devil. Oh, we've been rebuking. Nah, give. What happens when you get that text message at 12:03?
Oh my God.
Does the lordship of Jesus cause you to ask the question of what will a disciple do in this situation? Let's go more practical. When you're in traffic, oh, go. Because Florida, y'all can't drive. My gosh. I'm like, what manner of man is this? So when that person cuts you off and they don't signal, do you say, what would a disciple do? I wanted to really hone on this passage because we got to reorient what it means to follow Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
If you hear nothing else of this message, if you have not surrendered the whole of your life to the lordship of Jesus, you are not following him. That's the tension. This is the tension of that text. It was a red line that Jesus drew in the sand, and those guys had to make a decision. And the fuel of that decision is his worthiness, not even his teachings.
Wow.
They heard the teachings and they were hanging around. Some of us love the teaching. I love our pastor preaching. Best preacher in the world to me. But it's not enough for me to sit in this room and hear amazing preaching.
Yeah.
And when God says, all right, now I'm going to put my hand on your heart and I'm going to say, follow me. That is a very different call.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
He say, follow me. He told them that I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets. Going on from there, he sees another two set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus kept going. He saw two other brothers, James and John. Here's the beautiful thing. Three of these men would be Jesus's closest friends.
Yeah.
They had no idea. Think about this. When you say yes to following Jesus, you have no idea what your life will look like.
Yeah.
Peter had no idea that he would see a transfiguration. He had no idea that he would be in a Garden of Gethsemane. He had no idea that he gonna get rebuked in front of his friends and called Satan.
Yep.
Yeah. He had no idea that he would chop an ear off and then see the Messiah put it back on. He had no idea.
Right.
He had no idea the things that he would see. John had no idea. Can I say this too? They had no idea that most of them would be martyred. There is a cost. I gotta say this in the Western church. There is a cost. The only thing that will make us take that cost is the beauty and worth of the one in which we're paying the price with.
Yeah. Yeah.
My prayer is that you see his worthiness.
Yes.
That you see our Messiah break the mold and he comes to you and he picks you.
Oh, wow.
Do you see the invitation? There are some exclusive parties in the world that people care to be invited to. There is no greater invitation than the Lord asking me and you to follow him.
Amen.
We have to reorient our value system.
Yes. Teach me. Yes.
Don't y'all feel that conviction? I feel it. Like I was like, yo, bro, what's your value system?
Yeah, that's a great
Do you know, like, he is asking us to reorient the way we think about life in general? There is not one aspect of life that he does not want his light to shine on. There is not one aspect of your life. Parents, he wants you to ask, how do you parent as a disciple of Jesus Christ? I know you love your boo-boo and your moo-moo. But are you bringing them up in the ways of the Lord? Or when they get old, they won't have nothing to not depart from. Because you're training them in the ways of culture. Y'all seen the more perverse videos? With the little kid telling me something, no to my mama. My mama would have knocked me across the room. And you sit up here talking about no. No to who? Are we training our kids up to fear the Lord? To respect their parents? Married couples. Are y'all each other's idol? Because here's what disciples do. They make Jesus their priority over everything. We don't see this Western priority over everything. Priority over everything. Singles. Is Jesus Lord over your body? Is he Lord over our minds? Can he tell us what to do? Because you know when you're single, you don't answer to nobody.
Married people do that too, though.
Oh, I already got y'all. I'm just saying, we do that too. Look, I'm single, so I got a little more authority on this one. I'm single, single. 42, 41 and single. But satisfied.
Amen.
Uh-oh.
Amen.
We should clap for that. Is it abnormal for a single to be satisfied? Do you know why I'm satisfied? Because he's beautiful.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That when the flesh want to turn up, I see someone worth it.
Yeah. Wow. Hallelujah.
When I want to hide singles and not be in community, I have to ask the question of what would a disciple of Jesus Christ do? A disciple of Jesus Christ would be amongst other disciples.
Amen. Yeah, yeah.
That's for my married folks too, because y'all are hide out in y'all house too and not be in the body of Christ. Amen, Jesus. He saw the other two brothers, James and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father. Here's the part for them. It's a separate, different cost than Peter and Andrew. The cost for them was to do something that in this culture would have been extremely disrespectful. Wow. You do not leave the family business.
Yep.
Ooh,
yep.
You do not leave your family.
Wow.
There's other cultures that we can learn from. Because here in our culture, we ready to be 18, be disconnected, get away from our families. But there are other cultures in which as soon as you became an adult, it was now your responsibility to take care of your parents. Ooh, that's tension, ain't it? Oh, I'm in America. There are other cultures still to this day where it's a sign of high honor to take care of your parents. Honor your father and mother so it may be well with you. That's like, so this would have been that. Jesus would have been saying, in this instance, I am challenging you to reorient culturally. Now, we got a lot of cultures in this room, and some of us will more so identify with that than disciple. My black African Americanness has to submit to the lordship of Jesus. And the Lord never asked me to rid myself of it. He said, surrender it to him.
Yeah. Amen.
There are beautiful things about my culture and there are sinful things about my culture.
Yeah.
Right.
What in our culture still has us tied in sin, though? And are we willing to immediately drop it and follow the Lord Jesus? Yeah. It said immediately they were preparing their nets. Let me see something here. One was casting and one was preparing. The Lord catches us in different seasons of our lives. Yes. Some of y'all may have been like me before he asked me to come to Florida. Pastor Demetrius was planning to go to Malibu. I was preparing. And it was heavy preparation. Long preparation. Clear preparation. Some of you in this room may have been headed somewhere else. And then the Lord tapped you on that little shoulder. Y'all, Pastor Ike was vacationing. And the Lord was like, look, as you were walking, you saw. The Lord gave him new sight. There is a people in Orlando that need to experience new creation. Amen.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Not the church, new creation.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Church just happened to be named. God had a mission and he interrupted lives, even yours, to invite you into something that would be bigger than you could ever even imagine. These disciples had no idea that we're sitting in this church because of their yes. They were able to participate. Can I tell y'all something so scandalous? From the beginning of time, the Lord has been inviting us to participate. Genesis 3, we said, no, we got it. And I told y'all multiple times that the Bible would have been 3 pages. If I was God. Oh, I made you to work with me and you said no. Huh. Bet. Not only am I going to wipe you out, I'm going to just go back. Because see, I was already good within myself.
Come on.
Yep. Wow. That's theology too. He didn't have an actual need for us. But the fact that he created us to be with him and to work with him. Do y'all see the honor in that? Like the God of the universe has asked us to participate with him. He made promises to groups of people and they continually failed. He sent kings. He sent prophets with the same message. Would you just obey me and be with me? Because I got a work for you to do on this earth. From the beginning of time. And I wish that I would say we immediately dropped everything to follow him, but we did not. And so the world was in trouble. And somebody needed to come that would actually do it. Why do we follow Jesus? Why did these people cast their net?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why did they drop the family business? I want to ask that question. Why? If anybody could do the I told you so ministry, it was Jesus. He could have easily said, you just do it because I told you to do it. If anybody going to have just because I said so, it would be Jesus. What made them at once drop all and leave all to come hither with Jesus? What made them reorient how they think about life as a whole? What made them do that? Jesus didn't say because I said so, and he could have. But the rabbi, the ultimate rabbi, the teacher of teachers, he led by example. He was sent by his father. Notice that. The father sent him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus was sent on a mission that would literally have him fishing for all the people that was lost and in need. He was the greatest example of obedience. He did all that he saw the Father doing. I do only what I see my Father doing. He lived perfectly and purely, but he also allowed himself, instead of catching fish in a net, he was caught in a net. Mm-hmm. Called the cross.
Wow.
For the sins of the fish.
Wow.
Here's the good news, though. He didn't stay in the net, because on the third day he resurrected with all power in his hands. He came back and appeared to the disciples and gave them the Great Commission, in which this text is actually the model for. That text, Matthew 28, in your going as he was walking. Make who? Disciples.
Yes.
He made disciples. Yes. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Spirit. Woo! And teaching them to observe all that he has commanded.
Yes.
Notice, follow me is come hither with me. He said, lo, I will be with you even until the end of the ages. And he gave us the mission to go fishing.
Wow.
To teach folks to follow him and to live a life reoriented, obedient to him. I'm so grateful to be at a church where we baptize folks in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And here's what we do until his kingdom fully comes.
Yeah.
We keep fishing.
Because
when he comes back, he will gather all the fish from every nation, every corner of the earth, all of this sin and suffering and decay and lack would be no more. Every bit of your crying, every bit of the tears, they will be totally dried up. And we would all be beholding this beautiful light forever with sinless bodies that won't even know decay anymore. My encouragement to us in this room is to go fishing. But in order to go fishing, you have to actually follow Jesus. You have to be caught in his love. There may be people in this room who have not allowed the Lord lordship. I pray in Jesus' name that you see him as beautiful and one that is worth following.